you know, there's a favorite niggun amongst this generation of Chassidim. I'm not going to try and sing because I'll be guaranteed that you'll never ask me to come back. But the words go, so this niggun, these words come back from a story that the Baal Shem Tov wrote about. The story happened in Tov Kuv Zayin, 1746, on Rosh Hashanah. So the Baal Shem Tov had an experience in Shemayim. The Baal Shem Tov was in Shemayim, and one of the letter describes many things that happened there. One of the things that's described in the Baal Shem Tov's letter is that he met Mashiach, and he asked Mashiach, "Emosek Asimar, when are you coming? When is this Gula going to actually happen? We've been waiting a while." And Mashiach responded, "When your Mayonis, when the wellsprings of Chassidus will be spread outward." Now, as Chabad Chassidim, we are fortunate to have an appreciation for a big, I would argue that one of the big things that Chabad Chassidus has empowered us with or enriched our perspective with is the awareness of the fact that everything's real, right? So Chassidus gives us an appreciation for the realness of the Eibishter and the true value of the Eibishter and the value that the Eibishter has to us individually, but also the realness of the actions that we take and the outcomes that our actions have. So, the Chassidim traditionally were very much Yirei Shamayim and very always known to be Mahadur and Mitzvot and to be very Makbid. Because, for a number of reasons, one was the increased appreciation for the importance of the value of the greatness of the Eibishter and the value that brings to us. And number two was, another part of it is the fact that it gives us an increased appreciation for the fact that the things we do actually make a difference. And the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that one of the things that it means when it says Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, there are many different, we look at Mefarshim and there are many different ways that it's explained and different ways that it's understood, and they're all true. One of the ways that it's understood and that the Alter Rebbe explains is that Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah means that the Schar of the Mitzvah is generated by the Mitzvah. It's not payment for the Mitzvah. It's a natural outcome of the mitzvah. The schar mitzvah, the reward of the mitzvah, is actually a direct natural outcome of the mitzvah itself. And we know that when we makayim mitzvahs, you look in the igros, in the letters of the Rebbe. For sure, one of the most common themes that we see in the letters of the Rebbe is people asking for brachas and need increase in this, and it's panasa, health, da-da-da, whatever it is. The Rebbe, you know, often gives practical examples, practical directives, and then says, and increase in limud Torah and kiyum mitzvahs, behidruk, simcha, whatever it is. But, well, it's not Rachman al Tzlan like the Rebbe's a businessman, and it's like, oh, well, you need something from me, I want something from you, you need a bracha, I want you to keep mitzvah, so let's make a deal. You keep mitzvahs and I'll give you a bracha. It's not the way it works, obviously. The Rebbe's telling us that when we're mekayim mitzvahs, our mitzvahs actually have outcomes. Mitzvahs are real. There's a real connection between our actions and then outcomes beruchnias and outcomes begashmias. And the Rebbe is telling us that when we're mekayim mitzvahs and we learn Torah, the outcome of that is that, or part of the outcome of that is increases our connection to the Eibishter and increases our receptivity to brachas from the Eibishter. And keeping in mind this sort of perspective and this look at things, that everything's in real and our actions have outcomes, schar mitzvah mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah, the schar of a mitzvah, is an outcome of and generated by the mitzvah. It's not just payment for the mitzvah. So here, when the Baal Shem Tov asked Mashiach, and Mashiach answered, it's not just a deal that Mashiach wants the Baal Shem Tov to spread chassidus. Baal Shem Tov wants Mashiach to come. Look, this is basic capitalism. I want something that you have, and I have something that you want. Let's make a deal. You learn chassidus, I'll come, everyone will be happy. It's not a game. There's obviously some sort of real connection between l'chshir futza mayna secha chutza and ka'asimar. The question is, what is it? Why is it that of all the things in the world, all the mitzvahs and all the limudat Torah and the tariyag mitzvahs d'oraisa and the seven mitzvahs d'rabbanan and all the minhagim and all the ma'asim tovim, this is the thing that Mashiach said is the key. The Baal Shem Tov asked, this was the one thing that Mashiach said. This is the key. What is it about Chassidus specifically that makes it the key to making Mashiach actually happen, to making Mashiach's arrival actually happen finally after all the time we've been waiting? And I guess a very basic and systematic approach to understanding this, to clarifying, would be to understand the pre-Mashiach state of reality, the world that we live in today, the world that exists before Mashiach, contrast that with Yemos HaMashiach, and then understanding the true nature of Chassidus and what Chassidus does, it should hopefully become clear why Golus plus Chassidus equals Geula. The question is, what's Golus, what's Chassidus, and what's Geula? Hopefully, if we can get each of those three clear, presumably, if what I've suggested is correct, then the equation should, everything should add up, it should become very clear. So, the reality of the world we live in today is, you know, take for example, a cup, a table, whatever it is, these things are real. This table exists. The table, and the Rebbe's approach, you're not sure whether the world exists, take a look in Chumash, Bereshis, Bara, Kimas, Shemayim, Mesa, Aretz, in the beginning of creation, heavens and earth, and the Torah goes on to tell us about the things that the Eibishter created. The Torah says the Eibishter created the world. And you look in Halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear that Halacha considers things in the world to exist and to be real. Chassidus isn't here to tell us, you know, he says an expression, Nishtokenvelt. Nishtokenvelt doesn't mean that the world doesn't exist. Doesn't mean that the table doesn't exist and that the world's not here. That it doesn't exist, it's fake. Chassidus isn't here to educate us to the fact, or educate us about the fact that everything that exists in the world is a fantasy. It's there to give us a deeper and broader appreciation of the full picture. So the table exists. The table exists is a true statement. That statement is true, but it's not necessarily the full truth. Or it's beferish, not the full truth. Why isn't it the full truth? Going back, zoom out a little and go back in time. Well, there's a term in Chkira, in Chkira of Yiddishkeit, in Jewish philosophy. And by Jewish philosophy, I don't mean Spinoza. I mean Torah philosophy. That there's a term, Mechuyev HaMetzias, which means mechuyev means obligatory, and metzias means it exists. Mechuyev ha-metzias means something whose existence is obligatory. It means that the nature of this entity means that by definition it needs to exist. By definition of its nature, it has to exist. And to us it seems like that's true of a lot of things, but it's not actually true really of anything. Everything, the table could have not existed. V'haray, it didn't always exist. Before it was created, it didn't exist. The materials that it's made out of existed. The plastic was there before the table was formed, but you know what? The plastic was made also is man-made. But you know what? The ingredients that the plastic was made out of, if you go far back enough, aren't man-made. So whatever it is, that the molecules that it's made out of aren't man-made, but they're still not mechuyev ha-metzias because the Eibishter could have not created the world. Right, take time and space, for example. To us, time and space are mechuyev ha-metzias. They have to exist. And the reason they have to exist to us is because our entire experience exists inside of time and space, within the framework of time and space. So our minds are not capable of relating to something that is beyond the framework inside of which our experience happens. So we live, our experience happens inside of time and space. But we know one of the names of the Eibishter is Mokrin. If you look in a siddur, and you look in a Hebrew-English siddur, when the Eibishter is called Mokrin, you usually see the translation omnipresent. Omnipresent means present everywhere. Now, again, I would argue strongly that it's true that the Eibishter is omnipresent, but that's not really an accurate translation of the name Mokrin. It's an outcome of the name Mokrin. Now, I'm not saying that I argue with the fact that they use this translation in the Siddurim, because to do it justice, you would have to probably put a sentence or a paragraph, which I don't think any Siddur is going to do. But there's a Medrash that says very clearly, Lama nikra shmoi makim, why is the Eibishter called makim? Mipnei shehum makoimoi shel olam ve'ein ha'olam makoimoi. The Eibishter is the location inside of which space exists. Ein ha'olam makoimoi. Space is not the location inside of which the Eibishter exists. Because space doesn't have to exist, not mechuyev ha-metzias. The Eibishter, the only entity that exists that is mechuyev ha-metzias, the only entity whose nature by definition requires that it always exists no matter what, is the Eibishter, and that's it. Everything else is created by the Eibishter, which means it's not mechuyev ha-metzias because it doesn't need to exist because there was a time and place when it didn't exist, including time and space. So it's true that the Eibishter is omnipresent, but that's not what makom means. Makom means that the Eibishter is the location inside of which space exists. The Eibishter created space. The Eibishter was there before space. then the Eibishter decided voluntarily to make space exist. So obviously there's no point in space in which the Eibishter is absent. So obviously the Eibishter is omnipresent. But Makom doesn't mean omnipresent. Omnipresent is an outcome of the fact that Nikra Shmoy Makom. So the only thing that needs to exist by definition, the only thing that's Mechayev HaMetzius is the Eibishter. And there was a time and place, or a lack of time and lack of place, when the only thing that existed was the Eibishter. Then what happened? The Midrash says, and the Midrash that's quoted by the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, which is to an extent kind of the basis of the whole Darkei Achsidus, that Nis'ava Kodesh Baruch Hu Lios Lo Dir B'Tachtonim. The Eibishter wanted to have a Dir B'Tachtonim. To have a Dir B'Tachtonim, there has to be a Tachtonim. So then the Eibishter decide to create a world. Now, if the Eibishter would have just created the world and made the world exist as is, the Eibishter was there, and right, all there was Ein Sof, there was Or Ein Sof, there was the Infinite One, the Eibishter, there was Infinite Radiance, the Radiance of the Infinite One, Or Ein Sof, and that was everywhere, and that's all there was. Then the Eibishter creates a world. Had the Eibishter just created a world, we would have been here. The Eibishter could have, and this is something that's actually was a bit revolutionary for me the first time I saw it, but the Rebbe says it very clearly, and it's probably described very clearly in a number of places, but the one place I know offhand that I saw it explicitly written was from the Rebbe, that the Eibishter could have created the world and space and time and people and Nivroim Mugbalim directly from Shem Havaya without any Tzimtzum. Right? Shem Havaya creates, but the Eibishter could create without Tzimtzum. It's just that our experience would be entirely different. We would exist, the Eibishter can create a person. It's just that we would be fully aware of the full truth. We would be fully aware of the Ein Sof, of Or Ein Sof. We would be entirely bottle. We would have no sense of self. We would have no sense of independent identity, which would kind of defeat the purpose to an extent. There would definitely be no challenges, no nisyonis, no temptation to do anything wrong, because we would be perfectly aware of the Eibishter. So it would have defeated the purpose. So how does the Eibishter, if the Eibishter is here, how does the Eibishter create us and allow us to have a sense of independent identity when it's essentially false? So there's a statement in Avodas HaKodesh. It says, Kutcher b'cho shleimus ha'dekula, the Eibishter is entirely complete, shleimus ha'dekula, complete in every single way. Completely complete. Keshem sheyesh lo koyach b'gvul, just like the Eibishter has the ability of infinity, kach yesh lo koyach ha'gvul, the Eibishter also has the... I said gvul before. Keshem sheyesh lo koyach b'bilti ba'al gvul, the Eibishter has the ability of infinity. The Eibishter also has the ability to limit. Why? Because if not, it continues, if you would say that the Eibishter is infinite but cannot limit himself, you are taking away from, you are reducing the completeness of the Eibishter. You're saying the Eibishter is complete in terms of his size and his greatness and how big he is and how everywhere he is, but he is limited in his ability to limit himself. So, Harei Ato Mechaser Mishleimuso. You're saying he's complete in a certain way, in one way, but there are limitations to what he can do, which is essentially, really, kind of kfira. So this Koyach HaGvul, which the Eibishter has, manifests in Tzimtzum. It's Midas HaGvura. So the Eibishter could have created the world without Gvura, but our experience would have been entirely different. Not only our experience, Mokoim, space would have been entirely different. Everything would have been different. There would have been space, but all the space would have been mixed together, because each point in space wouldn't have seen itself as a separate point in space, and everything would have just been mishmashed together.
Spiritual?
Not necessarily.
No.
The Rebbe describes that, actually. It's in a Maimer in Malukat Hay. Godly Yabai Sazer, I think. And the Rebbe says there, the Eibishter could have made physical space, and every point in space would have existed and been its own point in space, but there would have been no separation, there would have been no need for one point in space not to exist in the same place as another point in space, because there was bittul, would have been no stira. So our experience would have been different, and it would have kind of defeated the purpose in terms of our job to make a dira b'tachtonim. So then, Midas HaGvura came into play, Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means that the Eibishter takes him out of the picture, takes himself out of the picture, and now we are able to have a sense of independent identity because the Eibishter is, so to speak, not present. Now, obviously, we know that there's that Leis Asar Ponim Inei, there's no place that the Eibishter is not present. The Eibishter is here. And incidentally, this was going back to the Alter Rebbe versus, or the Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe versus the followers of the Gron. Going back further, there are letters from the Baal Shem Tov addressing the Machlokes between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim. That, and one of the, on an ideological level, one of the primary points of contention between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim was whether or not Tzimtzum is Kipshutei. When we say that the Eibishter removed himself from the picture, did he actually take himself out of the picture? Tzimtzum Kipshutei or Tzimtzum Lo Kipshutei? It's not literal. The Eibishter didn't take himself out of the picture. The Eibishter can't be absent. It's a pseudo-absence. It seems like the Eibishter's not here. The Eibishter made his presence non-apparent. And that's the way that the Baal Shem Tov teaches. The Eibishter's everywhere. In a way, it would be a lot more comfortable to say that the Eibishter's not in a bathroom, the Eibishter's not in a garbage dump. It would be more comfortable to say that than to say he is, but the fact is he is, so I'm going to deal with it and figure it out. Right? So, Tzimtzum, the Eibishter didn't remove himself from the picture, but the Eibishter created the ability for there to be a perception that is not aware of his presence. And that's the reality that we live in. We are here, the Eibishter's here in this room. This table exists. Does the table exist? And going back to how I opened up this whole train of thought, does the table exist? Is that a true statement? Yes. Is it the full truth? No, it's not the full truth. The full truth is this table exists because there is a divine creative force that's making it exist. This table exists because there's a koyach ha-poyel b'hanifrad, there's a dvar havaya that's making it exist at every single moment in time. That's the full truth. That is a completely true statement. If someone wanted to describe what was going on in this room, one of the things that they may say right now is that there was a table and there were people sitting around the table, and one of the guys sitting in the middle of the table was sitting there, and in front of him there was a cup that was 2 feet above the table. It's a true statement. It's a true statement. But if someone read that sentence, they would have a very inaccurate picture of what it actually looks like. There was a cup that was 2 feet above the table, or 1 foot, whatever it is, because someone was holding it there. If you leave that phrase out of the sentence, it's a true statement, but a person who reads it has a completely wrong perception of what's going on. They're going to envision a cup just floating there, which is impossible. The full truth is there is a cup that's a foot and a half above the table because someone's holding it there. That's the full truth. So the table exists is true. The full truth is the table exists because the Eibishter is making it exist. I exist because the Eibishter is making me exist for a reason, intentionally, deliberately, because I have a reason to exist, I have a contribution to make to Dira B'Tachtonim. So this is, the reality we live in now is one where things exist. We only have a very limited perception of the truth. We see a part of the truth. What we see is true, but it's a very small subset of everything that's the truth. The majority of what truly exists, we're not aware of. We don't see, we don't perceive it. I trust what it says in the Svarim. That's why it's called Kabbalah. What's not really there? The Svarim aren't really there? Oh boy. I don't want to start quoting the wrong kinds of sources. And I was very tempted to do that, so I'm glad I didn't. So that's the reality we live in now. This is our experience. It's a true, but very limited perception of a small amount of the truth. Look at your Moshe Mashiach. What's the definitive text? If we wanted definitive answers on the practical reality of Mashiach, there's only one place to look, and that's the only Sefer Halacha, because Halacha is the subject within Torah, the topic in Torah, that is definitive truth. It's all true. Everything in Torah is true. Shammai is true and Hillel is true. Beis Shammai is true and Beis Hillel is true. There's only one halacha. Halacha is emes la'amito. It's the definitive truth that relates to the practical world and to our experience and life as Yidden. So if we want to know what's the definitive final ruling on the truth, emes la'amito, the place to look is halacha. The only sefer halacha really that addresses the nature of Yom Yisrael Mashiach is Rambam. So what does Rambam say? What does Rambam define as the essence of Yom Yisrael Mashiach? Rambam says all the things that it says about Mashiach, all the amazing gashmistic things, they're all true, Rambam says, but that is not what Yom Yisrael Mashiach is. Those are secondary benefits that come along with Yom Yisrael Mashiach. This is not what the Chachamim were waiting for. Rambam says, what is it that the Chachamim are waiting for? The whole long, a couple of sentences, but to get down to the real crux. The Chachamim were waiting for a time, v'lo yiyeh esek kol ha'olam, ela lada'as es Hashem bilvad. The occupation of the world, we will eat and we will sleep, and I'm going to come back to that in a second. Rambam says, but what's our occupation going to be? What is we going to be occupied with? What are we going to be thinking about when we eat? And what are we going to be thinking about when we fall asleep? And what are we going to be thinking about when you open our eyes in the morning? Our occupation, we're going to be occupied with la da'as es Hashem, to have da'as in Hashem, recognition, awareness, not just comprehension, not just understanding. Da'as, as opposed to bina, means an awareness, a recognition, something that's actual, a real perception, that's a part of our experience. And that's going to be the occupation of the world. And to go even further, Rambam finishes with a quote from a pasuk, Shenemar, Kimola ha'aretz deo es Hashem, the world will be filled with recognition of Hashem. This is the definition of Yom Yisrael Mashiach. Mola ha'aretz deo es Hashem. Now, if we look at the difference between the world we live in now and Yom Yisrael Mashiach, the difference is awareness, perception. Now we are aware only of a very small part of the truth. La'asid lavi, or I take back la'asid lavi, because we could nitpick that and that gets perhaps a little imprecise. But certainly in Yom Yisrael Mashiach, we will have an accurate perception of the full truth. Malach aretz deo es Hashem. Now, naturally, learning chassidus is the same way that we said schar mitzvah mitzvah, that the schar of a mitzvah is a natural outcome of the mitzvah. It's generated by the mitzvah. Yom Yisrael Mashiach clearly is generated by and a direct outcome of learning chassidus. We look around the world, we have a very limited perception of a small subset of that which is true. We learn chassidus, it broadens our perception, it broadens our awareness, it broadens our perspective and deepens our perspective. When we learn enough chassidus, and when we don't just learn it but we connect with it and work to actually have das in chassidus, not just chokhmah and bina, we look at a table and we start to be more aware of the fact that this table exists because it's being made to exist by the Eibishter. And when it's taken seriously enough, it can literally revolutionize our perspective and the way we see things. And our entire reality begins to change. So therefore, when the Baal Shem Tov asks Mashiach, Emosai ka osimara, when are you coming? Now, you ask a question, let's make a simple cheshbon. What's the difference between Golos and Yom Yisrael Mashiach? As defined by the Rambam, al pi halacha, awareness, Deya es Hashem, Moloch Haaretz Deya es Hashem. What is the way that we can do something to cause a state of Moloch Haaretz Deya es Hashem? It's to learn chassidus. So why does it have to come through learning chassidus? The Eibishter could just change our awareness, change our perception, and that would be it. Well, that's true, but you know what? The Eibishter could have just made the world and then shown up, and that would have been fine. But, and this again, we're going to see Rambam himself really is defines Yom Yisrael Mashiach in line with this. The Midrash says, Nis'av HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'as lo dira b'tachtonim, a dira in tachtonim. Now, in tachtonim doesn't just mean that tachtonim is the geographical location in which the dira lo yisparech is found, but tachtonim means it's in the tachtonim, it's part of the tachtonim, it's part of the fabric of tachtonim. For the dira lo to be actually part of the tachtonim, it has to be achieved by means of a tachtonim dika process. Otherwise, if the Eibishter would just come and jump in, it would be a dira, maybe we could say, on tachtonim, or despite tachtonim, but it wouldn't be part of the tachtonim. The only way for this Malach Haaretz Deya Es Hashem to be something that's actually part of the tachtonim, it's a part of the world itself, is if it happens by means of a worldly process. The worldly process by means we shift from Choser Haaretz Deya Es Hashem, perhaps we could say, Tamala Haaretz Deya Es Hashem, very clearly, is Limud Achsidus. So it now becomes very clear why Mashiach responded to the Baal Shem Tov that this is a natural process which will result in Yemoisa Mashiach betachtonim, Yemoisa Mashiach Malah Haaretz Deya Es Hashem, being a part of the Tachtonim itself, not something that was imposed upon Tachtonim. And we see that the Rambam says, when the Rambam opens up this discussion of Yemoisa Mashiach, he says, don't think that everything's going to change and the reality is going to be revolutionized. Olam kimin hago noyeg. The world's going to continue to operate, because if everything would shift and explode and change, it wouldn't be betachtonim, and that would defeat the purpose, because the point is betachtonim, for it to be part of the tachtonim itself, that's only going to be true if we say that olam kimin hago noyeg, the same tachtonim still in place, narvas, now there's a dira in that tachtonim, the tachtonim's there, but the awareness has changed. The state of reality perhaps has changed, at least as far as our perception is concerned, in that tachtonim. Just to for the sake of making things complete, it goes a little further, and the Rebbe points out that it says in the Pasuk about, when it talks about Mashiach, it says, V'rol chobaso yachtov kipi Hashem diber, that it says, V'rol chobaso yachtov, our eyes will literally see the Elokus, physically. And that's something that cannot be achieved through Limud Achsidus. That's the cherry on the top that the Eibishter is going to add. That we, when we achieve the state of Yemoisa Mashiach to whatever extent is possible to achieve through a Tachtonim Dika process, in which case it will actually be B'Tachtonim, part of the Tachtonim, the Eibishter will come and take it that step further, as we could say perhaps an extra schar, that's the cherry on top. The Eibishter takes it to a point even beyond that which we can achieve. But for the most part, the state of Yemoisa Mashiach is something that is literally a natural outcome of Limud Achsidus. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should all... Yes, we should. It should be V'ral Chobasa Yachtov Kibi Hashem Diber and Molar Arzdei Es Hashem Kupshutoy Mamish on Pshetlach Tekf Mian Mamish. Amen.